While I'm looking for my sermon notes, you can find yours. So what I'd like you to do is follow along as we go through. We're starting a new series today on prayer. And we are going to take the next 7 weeks, which is a long time to talk about prayer, because otherwise today's sermon would have been really, really long. So we're going to do 7 weeks. And what I would like for you to do throughout the series is keep your notes. We ask you to do that every week, to look at them and to work through them, to remember them. But keep all of them for the 7 weeks. These will also be on our website, so you can find them there if you miss a week, as well as the audio message. Before I get to that, though, a little story. Read in the newspaper. There was a young man, and he was in love with a woman. And he did what we used to do in the old days. He wrote her love letters. Not email, but a real letter in the mail, postmarked, mailed every day. Not only was it a love letter every day for 2 years, but also there was a proposal of marriage every time. So over 700 love letters. And he got results. His persistence paid off. And the mailman married her. Just my luck. Isn't that the way life is sometimes? I mean, you're persistent, you pray, you have hopes, you have dreams, you have desires, and it doesn't work out. At least not the way that you had hoped that it would. You pray for the promotion and somebody else gets it. You pray for a happy marriage and you end up in divorce. You pray for your children to turn out great, and they have potholes in the road of life. You pray for someone who's ill, who's very close to you, and they die. We have hurts and disappointments in this life. Things don't always work out the way that we would hope, and it is so much harder because of the words of Jesus. Yes. Because of the words of Jesus. He says, if you pray and do not have doubt, you can say to the mountain, move, and it will move. It will be cast into the sea. And yet our experience is that there are so many mountains that don't seem to budge an inch, do they? There are times when the miracle does not happen, and we wonder why. And good-hearted people will tell us from time to time, well, that's because you did not have enough faith. And sometimes that is true. Remember the people of Nazareth? How many miracles occurred there? Not a single one because of their lack of faith. At times, our doubt is a tremendous stumbling block to the miracles of God. And yet, what about St. Paul? He prayed 3 times to take the thorn in the flesh away from him, and it was not. And what about Jesus there in the Garden of Gethsemane? With the blood dripping from his brow, he said, Father, if it's possible, remove this cup of crucifixion from me. And just a few moments later, it's the executioners who come and they arrest him. And they lead him to his death. Did the Son of God not have enough faith? So sometimes there's more to it. And that's what we want to look at over these next 7 weeks. And we begin with this. Prayer is not primarily about our requests. Prayer, first of all, is a relationship that we have with our God. It's not a formula where we have to fold our hands and bow our head and close our eyes. It isn't about saying the right words in the right sequence. It's about our relationship with the Father. And so we can talk with Him anytime, anywhere, in any position. Short prayers, long prayers. Prayers with a formula or those that are spontaneous from the heart. Any time that we have a conscious awareness of God, that's prayer. When we are intentional about the conversation, that is prayer. And so, requests are not the primary purpose. So what is? This relationship, this molding of one's soul. So I am praying over the next 7 weeks that my soul and yours will look more like Jesus. That we will sound a lot more like Jesus. That we'll act a lot more like Jesus. That we'll treat other people a lot more like Jesus. That we will be more whole and healthy in our relationship with the Father. And that we will be able to creatively cope with whatever difficulties this life brings. So it's not about changing our circumstances. It's not about changing the circumstances of the world or other people. Prayer is not like a magic lamp that I get to rub and I get three wishes. It's not like a vending machine where if I put in enough, I get something out. It's about molding our soul. And yet, there's always an and yet. And yet God does want us to make requests, doesn't He? Because He is our Heavenly Father and He loves us and He wants all things good for us. That's why He created the whole world. It's for us. And in the beginning it was perfect. He wants good things for you. And He wants you to ask for them. He even says, ask. Seek, knock. He wants to give us these good things. It's a privilege to be able to pray. And not only that, God gives us the authority to help in making those requests come about. And we'll talk about all of that later in these next 7 weeks, but for today, there's two things I want you to remember so that you are not so hurt or disappointed when your prayers are not answered. And that is this: God will grant requests, first of all, if they are possible. If they are possible and consistent with His will. You see, not everything is possible. Wait a minute, time out. Time out. Doesn't Matthew 17 say that nothing is impossible with God? Nothing is impossible if it's according to God's will. God has the power to do anything. He said, let there be light, and there was. He created everything in 6 days. He takes pig farmers and makes them preachers for God's sake. He can do anything. But when Jesus prayed that prayer, Father, if it is possible, it was not, because you see, if the Son of God does not go to the cross, then our sins are not forgiven. If the Son of God does not live a perfect life in our place and then become the sacrifice for the sin of the whole world, there can be no relationship with the Father. And so in that regard, it was not possible, nor in accordance with the will of God. So pray, begin praying that way, if it is possible, according to your will. And that should give you a great deal of comfort when your prayers are not answered. Think of it this way. I would begin to question God's sanity if He gave me everything that I wanted. How about you? So I think God knows a little better sometimes what is good for me than I do, just like I know a little better sometimes what's good for my children than they do. So be glad when your prayers aren't necessarily answered according to your will, but rather according to God's. So as we look at this, when Jesus said, you can say to the mountain, what He's really saying is that through prayer, through faith, any difficulty in life can be removed. Any difficulty. Nothing is impossible with God in that regard. Or if not removed, we can be given all that we need to cope, the strength, the perseverance, the patience. Again, those words of Jesus in the garden, what a great model for us as we look at authentic prayer. My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And yet we recognize there are so many times that we do get disappointed. We are hurt. We grieve over the trouble of our life. So what do? Well, let's begin this with this. When we're hurt, when we're disappointed, when we're grieving, know that God shares those feelings with you. Just like an earthly parent, when our kids hurt, we hurt, right? When they're disappointed, we're even more disappointed. When we grieve, God grieves. He empathizes with us. After all, His Son became one of us. And yet, God does a whole lot more than that. God is always working on our behalf. And so, when a door closes because of circumstance or sin, or the freedom of other people, whatever it might be, God then opens another one. That's what God does because He loves us. How did Maria put it in The Sound of Music? Don't worry, I'm not breaking out into song. When God closes the door, He opens the window, right? The problem with so many of us, and I've been there, we get disappointed and we keep trying to go through the closed door. And there's an open one right there and we just aren't looking. God opens up a new life, a new possibility, and we ignore it completely because we're still looking at the closed door. We're still living in the past. We're still reliving that tragedy of our life. It is sad when someone falls down, when they get hurt, but it's even sadder when they don't pick themselves up. So often we keep picking at that scab, that hurt, that wound, not allowing it to heal if we would simply look to the open door and the new life and the new possibility that God is working toward. Take a look there at your memory verse from Romans chapter 8, one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture, and we know that for those who love God, that would be you. For those who love God, a few things, some things, a couple of things. No, all things. All things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. You see, there's nothing that happens in our life that God cannot use for good if we trust Him. God can take anything, including the crucifixion, and turn it into a resurrection. And if we have a God who can do that, He can certainly take the hurts and the troubles and the disappointments of your life and turn it upside down into something good. You know, it's one thing to believe in God, to trust in God, to have this great faith when everything is going well. When the Cubs are winning every game, it's an easy life. When it never rains on our party, when every miracle we pray for occurs, when we're happy and healthy and wealthy and wise. But what about when it's not? Disappointment is the acid test of our faith. That's the mark of a mature faith. It's all about trusting God, even when we can't see the light, when it's the darkest, when we're overwhelmed with this life, can we then still trust in God? Job did. He lost everything. His family, his wealth, his own health. His wife said, you might as well just curse God and die. Just give it up. Throw in the towel. There's no point in going on. And yet Job said at that time, I will trust in him even if he kills me. Even if he kills me, I will trust in him. Or what about the Sunday school lesson, the three men in the fiery furnace? Higher place in heaven if you can spell their names. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The king was going to throw them in the fiery furnace if they would not bow down and worship the idol. And they said, oh, king, our God is able to deliver us, and he will deliver us. But if not, we will not bow down to your idols. We will still trust in him. Our God is able to deliver us. Our God is able to move mountains. And he often does. But even if not, I will trust in him. Frankly, this life is not worth living if we can't trust in our God. A God who gave his only son for us. A God who turns crucifixion into resurrection. A God who will make us his children. And so we can stubbornly hold on to that, that we can trust in our God no matter what. No matter what. I hope over these next 7 weeks that even if your circumstances do not change, that you will. That you will draw closer to God. That you will grow and mature in your faith. And even when you feel overwhelmed, even when you cannot see the light of day, that you will know that he is there. And that you can trust in him. And if possible, according to his will, mountains will indeed be moved. May God grant that for Jesus' sake. Amen.